Welcome to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where just under 7,000 go home happy. 6,997 is, I believe, the number that I heard called out for attendance as the Rangers double up the Erie Otters 6-3. However, don't let that score fool you. Yes, it's a three-goal differential, but this was a back-and-forth game that was one-goal separation for much of it. Let's take a look at your scoring summary here in Game 1. Back in the first period, Luke Ellenis opened the playoff scoring for the Kitchener Rangers. Matt Sopp and Simon Motu drew the assists at 6:46 of the first, 1-0 for the Rangers. Then Sopp would score one of his own from Edward Chalet and Philip Machar. It came at 10:16 of the first on a Channers power play for the Rangers, and they were up 2-0, and they really did have the jump to start this one. But the Otters would find their legs, and Dylan Edwards would get Erie on the board at 13:54 of the first on an Otters power play. Edwards from Owen Johnston, and that made it 2-1. That's how the first period came to an end. In the second, just one goal scored, and it was the second of the game for the Rangers' Luke Ellenis. Hunter Brustevich and Carson Rakoff drew the assists. It came at 16:07 of the second, and the Rangers led 3-1 after 40. But did the Otters ever pour it on in the third? They had six shots on goal before the Rangers had any, and they made it a one-goal game. Erie would outshoot the Rangers in the third, the only period they did outshoot the Rangers, 13-8. So coming into the third, down 3-1, Dylan Edwards would get his second of the game from Panofimus at 35 seconds, and it was a one-goal game at 3-2. The Rangers would restore the two-goal advantage, though. Edwards Chalet from Philip Machar on a beautiful pass. When the Otters thought they were going to clear the zone, Machar just kept it onside, and sneaky Chalet in behind everybody all alone on goaltender Ethan Fraser, tipped it home, and the Rangers were up 4-2, 4:09 into the third. But these Otters did not quit. Sam Alfano with his first of the playoffs from Matthew Schaefer and Nathan Sauter at 8:34. It was a one-goal game again as the Rangers led 4-3. But Max Diracolo would once again make it a two-goal game. Diracolo from the blue line with Matt Sopp providing a terrific net front presence. Diracolo's first of the playoffs from Olivier Savard and Luke Ellenis at 13:15. It was 5-3 for the Rangers. And then on the power play late and with the Otters net empty, Carson Rakoff would ice it for the Rangers. Philip Machar the assist. Give Machar three assists on the night. It came with 27 seconds left, and the Rangers win it by a score of 6-3. Kitchener goes 2-for-5 on the Channers power play tonight. Erie goes 1-for-4, and the Rangers outshoot the Otters 32-28. Once again, the final, the Rangers 6, the Otters 3, game 1 of this Western Conference quarterfinal between the 4th-ranked Rangers and the 5th-ranked Otters goes the Rangers' way. Game 2 is all set for Sunday afternoon right here at the Memorial Auditorium. We have got plenty more post-game coverage coming your way, including a conversation with Rangers head coach Jussi Ahokas. That is coming up next. Stay with us. Post-game coverage is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Memorial Auditorium in Kitchener, where 6,997 turned out for game number one, watching the Rangers double up the Erie Otters by a score of 6-3. On our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard tonight, Brantford draws first blood in their playoff series with the Ottawa 67s. Brantford, the 3 seed in the East. Ottawa the 6, and the Bulldogs win 5-2. In London, the Knights shut out the Flint Firebirds. That is the 1-8 matchup here in the West. It's a 3-0 final in favor of London. And how about this score in Oshawa? The Generals, who finished the regular season with 12 straight wins to capture first place in the Eastern Conference, trailed the Barrie Colts in the third period 3-0. It's now 3-1, but just over 3 minutes to go, and the Gens trail by 2, staring down a Game 1 loss after 12 straight wins to close out the regular season. That's the 1-8 matchup in the East, Oshawa being 1 and Barrie being 8. The Colts up 3-1. Let's send you downstairs to Paul Fixter.
Thanks, Mike. I'm downstairs with head coach UC Hocus. Coach, what were you most pleased with tonight at getting the first playoff victory?
I thought Ellen has played a really great game. We had four goals scored from net front. Went to hard areas. Got the prize from that. That was really good. Parsons in the net played really well. The 5-on-3 PK was huge for us. Ando, huge blocks there. But still, it's only one win.
How you mentioned about the 5-on-3 penalty kill. How big was that for your team? Because it was, I think, just 11 seconds short of a full 2 minutes.
Well, it was huge. Ando had huge blocks there, and we played smart. And Parsons also, even for PK, like, you need a good goaltending, and that was really good. I was pleased for the boys.
Were you surprised that Ellen is his first playoff game in this league? He was a dominant player tonight.
No, I knew he can play well. He's been developing, I think, the whole season. He's been getting better and better. But he's kind of a player. He does the right things. He goes to the net. He back checks. He battles. He's a smart player. He has a good shot. But like that one-timer, I thought it was a really good shot. And then also the second one going to the net front. And, yeah, that's when you get the prize. But, yeah, I have to be pleased in his game.
Were you pleased, Coach, with the discipline that your team showed? Because there was a lot of slashing and hacking and stuff after the whistles.
Well, yeah, but we still need to be better. We don't want to give them anything. Like, just concentrate our in game and play whistle to whistle and play hard.
Last question for your coach. But how exciting is this building in the playoffs with 7,000 people?
It's great. Our fans are the best in the league, and we really need them. They're the sixth player for us, so it's a great atmosphere.
Congratulations, and let's go get the game Sunday as well.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. The Rangers fans, the sixth man for the team on the ice as Kitchener doubles up Erie 6-3 here in game number one. Post-game coverage for You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
Once the East Avenue Blues step off the ice, it's time to break down the game. This is City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Memorial Auditorium, where the Rangers beat the Otters 6-3, and Paul Fixter is ringside.
Thanks, Mike. I'm at ice level with tonight's first star in your first playoff game. How did it feel out there tonight, Luke? And congratulations.
Thank you. You know, it was a great atmosphere. It was a really fun game. We knew, like, all season this is what was leading up to, so we really were happy with how we played, and it was a fun game out there.
Take us through the two goals that you got and what transpired.
Yeah, the first one, you know, Topper just took both D in the middle. I mean, just kind of gave me a pass and laid one in, and I was able to one-time it and beat the goalie. Second one was just kind of standing in front, doing net front, and puck kind of just came on the ice and was able to just get a small tip on it, and it got through.
You mentioned Matthew Sopp, and when he took that headshot, and you got involved, how difficult is it to not cross the line and take a penalty at this point in the game and be in a playoff game?
Yeah, so difficult. I mean, like, we know, like, you got to kind of have some retaliation, but can't exactly what you said, cross the line. Like, we can't be putting our team in, I can't just be putting a team in a situation where it puts us at a disadvantage. But, you know, we knew who did it. Like, we'll remember for next game and make sure we get him back for that.
This was your first playoff game in the Ontario Hockey League. What a night for you to get two goals and an assist in your first playoff game. Just what was it like with the energy in the building and for you to play your first playoff game?
It was unreal. I mean, it's the best place to play in the league for sure. So it was just right when we came up for warm-up, it was electric. So it was unreal. Couldn't imagine it being better.
Trent Swick has two more games to go. Are you doing everything you can to stay on that top line with Matthew Supp so you don't lose that spot to Swick?
Honestly, you know, wherever coach has me, I'll just play my game. It doesn't matter. I mean, they'll do whatever they want with the, they do whatever they want to make the team win. So wherever they have me, I'm good with.
Last question for you, Luke, but how is your confidence level has just kept growing through the season, and you've become a different player in the second half of the season. Is that just because you're more comfortable in this league at this point?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I've gotten, you know, more trust from the coaches as well, and then with that I've just gotten more comfortable making plays and realizing that if I make mistakes, I can, you know, they aren't upset with that as long as I work my hardest to get the puck back.
Congratulations on a great start to the playoffs, and good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. Give me 19 more of a kid who plays like that with an attitude like that. Luke Ellenis, 2 goals, 1 assist. The Rangers beat the Otters 6-3 tonight here in front of just under 7,000 fans. Game 1 at the Memorial Auditorium. Your post-game show is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Memorial Auditorium in Kitchener, where it's all smiles on this Good Friday Eve. Perhaps even a great Friday by now, following a 6-3 win for the Rangers over the Erie Otters. Let's take a look at your three stars from this game. Your three stars, a presentation of the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. Edward Chalet, a goal and an assist for the Kitchener Rangers tonight, earns third star honors here on home ice. Dylan Edwards had a nice game for the Otters. I'm sure not all Rangers fans feel that way after it was Edwards' elbow that popped Matt Sopp in the chops with the game winding down. But nonetheless, 2 goals for Edwards, and he is named star number 2 of this game. And the kid from whom we just heard, 2 goals of his own plus an assist to go along with it, his first playoff game in this league, Luke Ellenis, is the first star of this game. So your three stars for the Better Business Bureau go Ellenis, Edwards, and Chalet. Find a better business at bbb.org. Back to wrap with Paul Fixter, and then we get to your phone calls on your post-game show here from the Memorial Auditorium. Post-game coverage brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Well, the Kitchener Rangers make a statement in game number 1 of this first-round playoff series with the Erie Otters. Remember, the Rangers did dominate the regular season series, winning the first 4 games, then losing the final 2, one of them, the game just last Saturday, in overtime. So Kitchener with points in 5 of the 6 games, winning 4 of them versus Erie. But coming into the playoffs, the Rangers had lost 4 in a row, 5 of 6, and if you look out over 11 games, the Rangers had points in 7 of their 11 games. 5 wins and 2 extra time losses in overtime. Meantime, the Erie Otters had points in 10 of their final 11 games, winning 5 in a row, including that game over the Rangers last Saturday to close out the regular season. But Kitchener picks up a 6-3 victory here on home ice tonight to grab the lead in the series 1-0. Interestingly, Martin Mishiak, who scored the overtime winner for the Otters last Saturday on home ice, not in the Otters lineup tonight. They're keeping it very close to the vest in terms of what the injury is, but he's not in the lineup. And Benjamin Gaudreau, who we expected to see in goal for the Otters, was also not playing tonight, but the Rangers got big performances from their top line of Matt Sopp, Luke Ellenis, and Carson Rakoff in the 6-3 victory. On our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard, Brantford a 5-2 win to take Game 1 of their series in the East, that game in Brantford. London a 3-0 shutout of the Flint Firebirds at Budweiser Gardens. And the Barrie Colts do what nobody expected them to do, double up the Oshawa Generals 4-2 to grab game number one in Oshawa. That's the 1-8 in the East, Oshawa being the one, and the Gens had won 12 in a row to finish in first place in the Eastern Conference, but they drop game one of the playoffs, and Barrie takes home ice advantage away with that 4-2 victory in Oshawa. Again, here in Kitchener, it's a 6-3 win for the Kitchener Rangers over the Erie Otters. The Rangers grab game one, and we start taking your calls. We open up the phone lines right now, 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. First-time callers get preferential treatment. Let's go into Rangers talk following a Game 1 victory for Kitchener. Post-game coverage for You Save Flooring. Price is so low. Just take it and go. This is City News 570. Sound that we heard six times here at the Memorial Auditorium tonight as the Rangers knocked off the Erie Otters by a final score of 6-3, as we do after every home game, regular season and postseason. Paul Fixter and I stick around and go late into the night so we can talk to you about what we all just saw here on the ice, or that you listened to us describing. We had listeners tonight from Naples, Florida, and another on a Caribbean cruise tuning in to us here online with the Radio Player Canada app or at kitchener.citynews.ca. We appreciate all of it. Be a part of Rangers Talk at 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715.
And the Naples, Florida individual says, I have to say, you and Farwell make me feel like I'm at the game.
Oh, I love to hear that. I love to hear that. We're so glad to have you along with us and that we can make you a part of the excitement.
So you're painting a good picture though with your call, Mike.
Something I noticed, Paul, as you were making your way back up from downstairs, both Carson Rakoff and Edward Chalet had a nice chat with representatives from Seattle who were in the building tonight. We've seen them a couple of times through the season checking in after games. And I wanted to, because I saw Rakoff first, and I wanted to single him out. You could make the argument that it was at a time of the game where it didn't really matter. The Rangers were up by two. They were pinning the puck in the Erie zone. It was pretty much over. But I might argue then that that makes it even more impressive, the forecheck, the ferocious forecheck that Carson Rakoff, and I'm not trying to rag on the kid, but it's not exactly something we've seen in his toolkit an awful lot. He was in there hard, he drew a penalty, then he picked up the empty netter. I'm sure that representative for the Seattle Kraken was very impressed with what they saw from number 16.
Absolutely they would be, Mike. And it's funny, when I was down doing the post-game interviews, Josh Brown from the Record said to me, that play by Rakoff that you just described, said that might have been the best play that he did all night, and it was like not to take away from the rest of his game, but that was impressive, and he drew the penalty.
And Edward Chalet, who earned third star honors tonight, had a little bit of jam in his game, and boy did he show some moves out there.
Yeah, I liked his game tonight. We've been waiting to see that, I think, from him, and tonight we saw what Edward Chalet is capable of doing, and he was much better. He was much improved. Maybe he needed a couple days off, a couple of games off that he had at the end of the season.
I also noticed very quietly, perhaps, that Philip Machar, because he got the assist on Rakoff's empty netter, finished with three assists. The fix was in for City Cabs on Machar outpointing his countryman, Andre Molnar, the two Slovaks here, and Machar picks up three assists to start this playoff series. But when we talked about that during the fixes in for City Cabs, Paul, you said the better Machar is, the better the chances for the Kitchener Rangers.
Yeah, I really believe that he's such an important part of this hockey club, and he seems to have some chemistry working with Chalet, which is a great sign for the Rangers, you know. And they, I look at the play where he set up Chalet for his goal. He made a great play to keep that puck in at the blue line.
Yes.
It's just those little things that, you know, don't go unnoticed by coaching staffs. They're just such an important part of the game. And he really played well tonight. Nice to see, because the Rangers need him if they're going to go a long ways. And I just got another text. We have another listener from Naples, Florida. So I don't know why those people in Naples, Florida aren't here at the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, but at least they're listening.
I don't blame them for trying to get away from the nasty cold weather that we get around here. Even though it's starting to warm up, I'm all for the warm weather. And yes, they can take us with them wherever they go, thanks to technology today. All right, let's get to the phones. Our buddy Jersey Bill is with us to start things off here on Rangers Talk. And Billy, before you get into it, are you still in Arkansas?
Yeah, actually, I was listening to you on a footbridge by the William Jefferson Clinton Presidential Library. I was crossing the Arkansas River, you know, over the bridge, and I had you on my phone there.
That's fantastic. So, yeah. I love it. Thank you for that.
You guys are really going far afield. Yeah, your listeners, you might be getting more listeners outside the Kitchener area than you have inside.
Could be.
I tell you what, I didn't really have a divided loyalty, even though I'm on this side of the border. No, I was all for Kitchener winning tonight, and like you say, I certainly hope they're able to end the series before you have to face the great crowds on the day of the eclipse coming up when you would be playing game six. That seems to be a really iffy kind of thing to have a game going on with all that going on around you.
Yeah, that's going to make for a really interesting April the 8th. I guess the good news is it's a 4 o'clock game, which means we'll all be inside the arena at 2 at the latest. So we won't be outside. There aren't any windows to look out at from that point on. But apparently Erie is going to be one of the best places in North America to watch this thing, and they're expecting 100,000 visitors.
Well, that's good. We can take care of business and win a couple of games here and then go take care of business there and then not have to worry about that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's a good thing. Keep the players inside so that they don't damage their eyes trying to look at the eclipse.
That's right.
Also, I was listening on the – I was when I was, you know, walking down on the bridge. That was the second period. I missed the third period. Was Sapp seriously hurt, or was that something that he's going to be able to quickly get back from?
He never missed a shift. He bounced right up. In fact, he continued playing. It was funny how that play was kind of at center ice, and then Erie carried the puck into the Ranger zone, and there was no whistle until after that, and Matthew Sopp continued playing, and then he took the ensuing defensive zone faceoff, and he's fine. I saw him walking around downstairs there, and he's fine. I really liked Elinus's answer to when I asked him about crossing the line, like, and he realized, you know, because I think in a regular season game, he would have ripped his head off. That's how upset he was.
Well, and he said the same thing you did, Paul. We took a number. We know, like, there's at least three more games in this series, and let's be honest, likely more. So they've got Dylan Edwards' number, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But yes, he came through that unscathed.
Yeah, and I hope they don't do anything that's going to cause a melee on the ice and then wind up with Kitchener down a player or two because of some infraction that... You know, I think discipline is as important as is retribution, probably more important for a team that's looking to a championship.
I think that's an excellent point, Billy. And if you can play with some restraint in moments like that, and then, you know, let that carry over and maybe lay a good body check or give Dylan Edwards a rough ride in game number two, then you've answered in the proper way, I would say.
Well, okay. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing you be an American broadcaster next week, and I'll certainly be trying to tune in at that time.
Thanks, Billy. Really appreciate the call. It's nice to hear from you tonight. So, yeah, we've gone international tonight, Paul. The Caribbean, a couple of Floridians, expats, we'll call them right now, and then Billy down in Arkansas checking out this game online as the Rangers win it 6-3 over the Erie Otters. That point about Game 6, just to fill folks in, like, it would be dicey. And then the best thing the Kitchener Rangers could do to avoid any sort of hassle is, as you said, finish the series off beforehand. Because the way this series shakes down, Game 2 is here on Sunday afternoon. Then Games 3 and 4 in Erie on Tuesday and Thursday. We know the Rangers love their Friday night game, so we'll come right back home and play Game 5 a week from tonight. And then the Erie Insurance Arena is booked all weekend, the 6th and 7th of April, so Game 6 does not happen until Monday, April the 8th, which is the day of the once-in-a-lifetime full solar eclipse, and expecting all those people in Erie finding a hotel room, I don't think will even be possible. So what the Kitchener Rangers do, I don't know. Do they travel partway? Niagara Falls is also going to be a mess of people. Do they just go down day of? It's a 4 o'clock start that afternoon, so it'd be a pretty early start in the morning.
Well, then you have to worry about the border, too.
Of course, because people are going to be crossing. So, listen, again, the easiest way to avoid any of it is to finish the series off beforehand.
And from a hockey perspective, Mike, the fewer games that you play to win a series, you're better off because you have less chance for injury and guys getting tired and all those things. That the more games you play, the greater chance you have of somebody getting injured. So when you have a chance to finish a team off, you want to do it.
Now, let's be fair in all of this. Yes, the Rangers won 6-3 tonight. They played very well. I love it when the coach says something that we kind of identified during the game. It makes me feel like a really smart person. But four net front goals that UC Ahokas talked about, and you and I talked about that in the third period, Paul, where it wasn't necessarily the tic-tac-toe, pretty passing play, things like that. The Rangers just did the little things you need to do, get to the net, put pucks there, good things are going to happen. That turned out. But the Erie Otters are no slouch. Game 2 becomes even bigger on Sunday now because the Otters, you always want the split when you're starting on the road, right?
Yeah, absolutely you do, Mike, and that's a good hockey team over there. And I thought Frazier was outstanding tonight.
I thought he was, too.
And as crazy as that sounds, he let 5 goals in. The last one was empty net goal. I thought he made some big saves, or this game could have been a lot bigger deficit than 3. No, they're a good team. They play hard. And they just kept coming back and making it tough for the Rangers. But the Rangers, to their credit, answered back each and every time that Erie got within one goal.
Benjamin Gaudreau, we were surprised to not see him in goal tonight. So we're waiting and wondering the status of who would be the Otters starter. And Martin Mishiak, mysteriously out of the Otters lineup, he scored the OT winner last Saturday when the Otters beat the Rangers.
So safe to assume he got hurt at practice this week?
Must have.
Like, that, the only thing that makes sense, because he looked very good last week. He played a heck of a hockey game, and then, like you say, got the overtime game-winning goal that for the final game of the season for Erie. So I'm assuming he got hurt at some point in practice this week, and serious enough to keep him out of the lineup for game one at least.
Luke Ellenis gets first star honors in this game, Paul, and I said after you finished talking to him downstairs that you wouldn't hear, obviously, but I'll repeat it now. I'll take 19 more just like him on my team, thank you very much. He is one of the softest spoken, nicest kids you're ever going to want to encounter. We had a little chat before the game when I was waiting for UC Ahokas for our pregame interview, and he's just so mild-mannered. He expressed excitement being ready for this game, his first ever OHL playoff game, but you put him on the ice, he is not afraid to go to the net. He might have, under different circumstances, really gone hard after Dylan Edwards, who clipped Matt Sopp. But what a performance. And then he tells you, well, when Trent Swick comes back, if he gets on the line with Sopp and Rakoff, that's fine. I'll just play wherever the coaches want me to play, and I'll do my best for them.
And that's what he's done all year, and yeah. He's gotten better and better and better. I love watching him, and he, I think his stock, there were a lot of scouts here again tonight, his stock just keeps rising and rising and rising, you know, and I think you asked me if he's going to outplay Spence in this series. Well, he did tonight, and I think he'll continue to. He's a heck of a player, but you're right, Mike. He's a mild-mannered individual. When he sits on the bus, he's got his glasses on, and he doesn't look like the hockey player that he is. You get him on the rink, and the smell of the ice or puts his skates on, he changes. I don't know what it is, but he changes, and he's a heck of a hockey player who plays the right way. He plays a heavy game, and that's something that's really needed in the playoffs, and Luke Ellenis plays a heavy game.
Malcolm Spence is a draft-eligible forward for the Erie Otters, so the fix is in for City Cabs tonight. We got some playoff projections here. We're going to follow Fixie's answers through the first round. Does Ellenis outperform Spence, the two draft-eligibles? Does Brustevich outperform Davio, the two puck-moving, point-producing defensemen on either team? We've got a couple of first-rounders in this game. Matthew Schaefer, the first overall pick this year, and Cameron Reed, both defensemen. Reed, the 10th overall pick for the Kitchener Rangers. And then the Slovakians, Mašar and Molnar. And Mašar's off to a good start in that one with the three assists here tonight. But one other thing I was thinking about, Paul, and you just mentioned it when it comes to Ellenis. We talk all year, and this is one of the reasons we're so heartbroken for a guy like Mitch Martin. Here's a guy that would love to try to make an impression on a pro team, and or now you think of a guy like Matt Sopp or Simon Motu who might want to earn a free agent contract. The deeper you go in the playoffs, the more exposure you're going to get when the games are so meaningful. Well, Luke Ellenis, we've talked about and you've identified, he's going to make a team really happy in June when they pick him in the National Hockey League draft. But you keep this up, and you might go from fourth round to third round, and I don't know if ever second round, but holy Hannah, what a game he played.
I don't know the draft well enough, but I could see him in that third round discussion, absolutely. Especially with the interest that we've gotten, you and I, Mike, from scouts from different teams that are asking all the time. When you get that number of scouts asking, they know that other teams are watching him as well.
6-3, the Rangers win it over the Erie Otters tonight. 2 goals, 1 assist for Luke Ellenis as part of the Game 1 victory for Kitchener. This is your post-game show for You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. We continue with Rangers Talk on City News 570.
It's time to speak your mind. Have your say on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Call now, 519-570-2545. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Well, Game 1 is in the books here in Kitchener, and the Rangers come out with a 6-3 victory to take the playoff opener versus the Erie Otters in front of a larger-than-usual, I will add, first-round crowd. 6,997, the announced attendance here at the Memorial Auditorium tonight. As I understand it, good seats still available for Sunday if you want to be here for Game 2. And it's a 2 o'clock start. You can still be home in time for Easter dinner.
Yeah, and I don't know why you wouldn't want to be here after witnessing what we just saw tonight. It was a great hockey game to watch.
So all of the 8 playoff series have now begun. 4 last night, and we'll talk about that in a moment. 4 more tonight. Brantford opens up with a 5-2 win on home ice over Ottawa. London on home ice versus Flint. It's a 3-0 victory for the Knights. And the stunner, quite frankly, I know it's just game one and it doesn't, you know, one game does not a series make, but my goodness, the Oshawa Generals, who were white hot, not just red, but white hot going into the playoffs, 12 consecutive victories to capture first place, play the lowly, if you will, Barrie Colts. And on home ice, the Gens drop a 4-2 game. Barrie doesn't only grab game one, but they grab home ice advantage with that win.
My brother-in-law is a longtime season ticket holder, with the Oshawa Generals.
That's right, yeah.
Who will be coming to my house tomorrow for dinner because Sunday we have a game. I can't wait to hear about his analysis of that game tonight. It's going to be interesting. I'm sure he won't be in a very good mood. And, Mike, I got a little note from a scout telling us that in a one-goal lead, protecting the one-goal lead at the end of the game, former Ranger Kyle Morey was on the ice. That's a real feather in his cap, and we talk about it. This is why scouts don't leave early. They want to see who coaches are putting on the ice to defend the lead or to try and, you know, get that goal. And I real nice shout out for Kyle Morey, who there happened to be a jersey about 10 rows in front of us at this game here tonight. But him and Blair Scott went to Barry and have really helped that hockey club.
Yeah, I saw that Morey jersey here in Kitchener as well, and a great nod to him to see him out there with less than a minute to go protecting that one goal lead for the Barrie Colts. Then they get the empty netter to win it 4-2. And we were talking earlier about Chalet, who is the player, of course, the Rangers got from the Barrie Colts, along with 8 draft picks. Scott and Morey go back to Barrie, so obviously they're paying some dividends and will be back for another season with those Colts.
And good players, good kids too.
Yeah,
like really good individuals. And I guess you throw Olivier Savard in there, who had a pretty decent game tonight as well.
The last game that's right, I forgot Savard being the other piece of it. The last game that Blair Scott played with the Kitchener Rangers was in North Bay, and the Rangers were struggling at the time. They had just come off that real tough loss in Sudbury the night before, where they had jumped out to a 4-1 first period lead and then watched Sudbury come out a different team in the second period, score 5 unanswered, and go on to a 7-5 win over the Rangers. Kitchener was stumbling and bumbling a bit the next afternoon in North Bay. Blair Scott dropped the mitts, set a tone, and the Rangers kind of rallied behind that.
That was a great fight, and he was playing left wing that day.
That's right. He got bumped up, yeah.
He got bumped up. He was playing left wing, and that was a heck of a tilt. And I remember we had a team meal afterwards upstairs there and talking with him about it, and he was pretty proud of himself, and he should be, that, you know, he did a good job for the Rangers that day. That was a heck of a tilt.
Olivier Savard picked up an assist here for the Rangers tonight, we should add, to go along with the goal and assist for Edward Chalet. So those trade pieces, Barrie and Kitchener, making a mark in their respective first games. The Colts 4-2 winners in Oshawa. The Rangers 6-3 winners here over Erie tonight. Let's get back to the phones at 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Bill, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hey, boys, how's it going?
Really good.
That's good. Anyway, I'm just going to get on Raycroft a little bit. He just floats around a lot. I know the second half of the third period, like if he played that the whole game, he'd be a force.
Sorry, who was that you said, Bill?
7 goals, but...
Who did you say?
Raycroft.
Oh, Raycroft, okay.
He just seems to me, if he had the energy of Pug, he'd be a force, you know?
Well, let's be fair. Around. If everybody had the... Goals, Bill, but, Bill, right. Slow down. He didn't score 57 goals either. Honest to goodness gracious. He scored 52. He scored 52. And okay, listen, 52, if everybody... Oh, my gosh. Bill just wants to talk. All right, Bill, keep talking.
No, I don't.
Goodness gracious.
Well, I just think he floats. I'm sorry, but he just needs to be more energetic. And everybody talking about this eclipse, I don't think it's going to be a problem. The only one dumb enough to look directly at it that I know is Donald Trump. The good thing is that Orange Blob did look at the eclipse again. But anyway, that's my input. You guys probably disagree, but I don't know. I just think he needs a bit more energy.
Like years ago. Years ago, it was Mike Keenan who said, and I forget who it was about, with the Chicago Blackhawks. He said all that they sent him down to the minors, and he said, "Yeah, all that. Why'd you send him down? All that kid does is score goals." And then, that's something that every coach would like to have. So my point is, Carson Raycroft, as much as he may not dig as much as Pug or Mercer or any of those guys on the energy line, he does score goals, and that's still an important part of winning hockey games.
I said he scores goals, but seems to me he floats a lot. If he had more energy, he'd be a force. he is a force of scoring goals, but I don't think you're getting what I mean.
No, no, I understand, but not everybody plays like Antonino Pugliese. You know, like certain guys play different ways, and you know, some guys can sleep for 57 minutes, and then they're the first star because they get the game-winning goal. Like, it's just, that's the nature of the game, and it always has been. There's guys like that that have always been around, and I think Carson, you know, what's happening too is they're really watching him. He's still trying. I found tonight, to some extent, he found some open ice because he was able to get away from the defenders who were pretty tight on him. I mean, let's face it. He did score 52 goals, and Stan Butler and his staff recognize that, and they're taking it away.
Yeah, he's not getting the chance to let the shot go. I don't know. He might have had a couple tonight, two or three shots on net.
Yeah, he had his share of chances tonight, for sure, but only got the empty netter. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, we're just glad they won and hope they can win in four or five.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds good, Bill.
Have a good night.
You too. Appreciate the call. You know, Paul, this makes me think, like, I get it, but I'm not going to sit here and start ripping hard on a guy that scores 52 goals and just say, I wish he was as energetic as Antonino Pugliese. Sure. I mean, every player, if you had 20 Antonino Pugliese's, you'd have the hardest working team in this or any other league. But different players bring different elements to the game. And to put it in language that you would understand very clearly, not everybody is Joe Sakic or Peter Forsberg, who are, you know, Carson Rakoff with everything else in the toolkit, right? They're going to go to the net. They're going to do this and that. There are other players at different tiers of the league. And look, Carson Rakoff will be just fine.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. He's still learning.
Yeah.
He's still learning the game and how to play the right way. And at this level, he's very effective. He's going to have to change his game as he progresses through the ranks and, you know, gets to the American League and gets to the National Hockey League, no question about it. But at this level, he's effective at what he does, and that's be a very offensive player.
Speaking of goal scorers, and I will admit this goal scorer did a little bit more than just score goals. What I loved about him when he played here was that he would go wherever the puck went. He could score in a variety of ways, but I never saw a guy want a puck more than Jeff Skinner. And this stat was shared with me the other day. He has now played, Skinner, 997 NHL games, not one of them in the playoffs.
Wow.
Isn't that that's crazy.
Yeah, that is.
That's crazy. I hope the person who sent me the stat was accurate, but blew my mind.
Well, he was with Carolina, and Carolina, there were some bad years there in Carolina.
Yep.
Did he go from Carolina to Buffalo?
I believe so.
I mean, he's in Buffalo now. I don't know if he went anywhere else
in between.
I can't
remember a time in between.
And Buffalo hasn't made the playoffs. Buffalo has the longest non-playoff streak in the league at this point. So, poor Jeff. But you're right. I mean, Jeff was a goal scorer, no question about it. But Jeff competed like a dog. Like he had more compete than Carson, in my estimation. But they're both goal scorers, no question about it.
Yeah, and give Rakoff credit, even with it was less than 2 minutes to go in this game, with the compete he put in on the forecheck at the end of the game and drew a penalty from it.
Yep. Yeah, he did. And there were four players.
Exactly. So you just hope this is something where he's like, wow, look what I can do. Like, not only were you one against four and holding your own just fine, but you made them so frustrated that Owen Johnston bopped him right in the nose.
Punched him in the nose and, you know, didn't get away with it.
It was a terrific play all around by Carson Rakoff. So, Bill, I hope for your sake that Carson gives you more of that as this playoff series wears on. All right, let's go back to the phones. And Steven is with us on Rangers Talk. Hello, Steven.
Oh, my friends, how are you?
We're fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. Well, pretty good. I mean, I think today being Good Friday lived up to its name. You're a Rangers fan and for the team.
Yes, it did.
I liked how they battled, and kept battling. And at times, overcame some adversity. Obviously, special teams are pretty key in the playoffs, and you got the goaltending from Jackson Parsons, and you know, and with the other goalie, obviously the score doesn't dictate how he played, but, you know, I like how if he's – this guy's on his game and he's pretty well stopping almost everything he sees, you just go for the greasy goals and just keep coming, and definitely that's what they did.
Four net front goals, as UC Ahokas noted in his post-game comments with Paul down at ice level. And you know the other thing, Paul, that Stephen makes me think about when he talks about the Rangers getting the goaltending that they needed? Jackson Parsons did not have to be spectacular tonight. So I'm wondering if defensively the team was just as sound as the coaching staff would have liked them to be.
Oh, I think very much so. They played a good defensive game. Jackson probably made some of his best saves in the first 10 minutes of the game. You know, I thought both goalies made some good saves. Jackson did what he had to do and just played a really solid, you know, I always call it a quality start. He gave the Rangers a quality start tonight, and he could have very easily been a star, I think, because he was very good, and especially in the 5-on-3 penalty kill. That was a huge point in this game. Your goaltender has to be the best player on the ice from the penalty kill unit, and he was very good, and Andonovsky was right there with him too. He was blocking shots like a goaltender. That's what this guy does. But Jackson Parsons was very effective.
I agree. What else did you see, Steven?
Yeah, well, definitely shot boxing. Poor Andonovsky, hopefully they got a Coleman cooler full of ice for the lad at the end of the games. But yeah, and I mean, definitely like Rangers also, they frustrated the area, obviously, looked at towards the end there. You know, for a team, nothing's worse than down two, you get a goal, you think you're building momentum, getting in the game, you get scored upon. So, you know, part of that is they just kept coming and coming and, you know, net drives. So, yeah, and as for Carson Rakoff, well, again, said he's learning the game. Compare it to, you know, if you want that grittiness and effort. One of my favorite players, Jarome McGinley, who, you know, I think definitely showed that tenacity going after the puck and could score. So, anyway, have a great night, guys. Take care, and hopefully we'll just keep it rolling and talk to you Sunday.
All right, Stephen. Appreciate the call. You know, it makes me think more. McGinley's a nice example of a player that's just, you know, well above average, and we like to watch because he scored 50, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well, he won the Rocket Richard scoring trophy. For
so he could do that, and he would, you know, dog on a bone, tough.
Well, think like, of the fight in the playoffs.
Exactly what I was just thinking of. So, like, everybody's got a different toolkit for sure. You don't see many players come around with a shot like Carson Rakoff's, truly, but the complete package, too, where you've got the shot like Carson Rakoff and the jam like Jarome McGinley doesn't come around all the time either.
Look at the players that we're using as comparisons. Jarome McGinley, Peter Forsberg, and Joe Sakic, all Hall of Famers.
Sure.
So we're holding this guy in pretty high regard when we're talking about players of that magnitude.
When you score 50... Right, and that, like, when Carson Rakoff came into this league, that's what you saw from day one. Paul, I would argue, like, we could tell that Carson Rakoff had a pro ready shot. It's only getting better, and yeah. So then you want to see some of those other elements develop into the game. If he wants to be a Hall of Famer, he's got one of the tools to get there already. That's for sure.
No question about it. I remember asking him a while back about his shot and how he got such a good shot, and he said, much to like Al MacInnis said as a kid. Al MacInnis went into the barn and just shot all day to kill time. Carson Rakoff, if you recall, said he used to go shoot in his parents' basement.
Yep.
And just shoot pucks, and has developed an unbelievable shot. He's so young still. Like, he's going to learn the other facets of the game. But at this level, he's doing a very good job at this point.
Rakoff had an empty netter, part of a Rangers 6-3 doubling of the Erie Otters here to take game one of this first round playoff series. We continue with Rangers talk right after this. It's brought to you by You Save Flooring on City News 570.
Got something to say about your East Avenue Blue? Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Well, Luke Elidis had a playoff debut to remember. Two goals One assist. The Rangers knock off the Erie Otters 6-3 here in game number one. Let's get right back to the phones here on Rangers Talk. Evan, you're on City News 570.
Barlow, it's been a while, eh?
Evan, are you underwater again?
I wish I was, buddy. I'm not in the Atlantic Ocean, so that's good.
Okay, that is good, but your phone sounds a little bit tinny.
Okay, is that better?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Yeah, I had it in the cup holder, so that's why.
Oh, my God. Okay. What do you want to say about the game?
You know, good game tonight. 2-1 to 2-1 to start the game, first period. And then, you know, after that, you know, I thought as soon as Erie was made it a close game to 3-2, I thought, you know, the Rangers are just going to choke. But it turned out, you know, the Rangers aren't going to let that happen. So they went up 4-2. And then Erie scored another quick goal. And then, you know, it's the Rangers quickly scored two goals with Carson Rakoff getting the empty netter.
All right, Evan, I appreciate the call. I certainly appreciate that you took your phone out of your cup holder so we could hear you better. But I'll tell you what, Evan's one of the truest, bluest Rangers fans I've ever met. And for a minute, he thought they were going to choke tonight, Paul Fixter.
That's pretty harsh words there for Evan to say about the Rangers. No, credit goes to Erie for not quitting.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, as euphoric as Rangers fans are tonight, and rightly so, you took game one, but this Otters team is not they didn't go away quietly tonight. They're not going away quietly for the next 3, 4, or 5, or 6 games in this series.
No, they played a good game. They came up, you know, a little short. They're not as offensively gifted as the Rangers. Rangers have more high-end scoring ability, I believe, and it showed tonight. But Erie plays hard, and they play a heavy game. They took the body. They were running around, and I expect much the same on Sunday from them. And you know, goaltending plays such a big part in the game. And again, I thought Frazier was very good. And who knows if Gaudreau is able to come back.
Sure. You saw him before the game warming up like any other night. He just didn't come in the game and wasn't even the backup.
No. No, if he wasn't going to play, I can see why they wouldn't, you know, have him sit on the bench for 60 minutes. That makes sense. He could get treatment or whatever he needs underneath and stay warm. But I think I really do. The fix is in on us seeing him at some point in this series. I do believe that.
Throw a little bonus in there for City Cabs. Don't forget to download the iCabbie app at citycabs.ca. I think you might be right on that, Fixie. Let's get back to the phones here on Rangers Talk. Cody, you're on City News 570.
Hey, Farwell. Hey, Fixter. Long time from hearing from you guys.
It's been a while, Cody. We were away last week. That's why you had to talk to James. So now you get the A-team back here, Cody.
Oh, yeah. The A-team rules, by the way.
All right.
Tonight's game, I'm kind of like I was blown out of my seat in section 12 tonight for that.
But it was a good crowd in here, wasn't it?
It's for a crowd that was like 6,997. It sure felt like 7,000 fans in that auditorium.
I mean, if you count guys up here on press row, we were over 7,000. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. And plus, my prediction for this series, like, I'm going to say the Rangers are going to win this series in 6 games because I know what Erie's going to be capable of in the rest of the series.
Oh, that means we have to take in the eclipse.
I hope we can do it sooner, but I hear you, Cody. I think, you know what, I feel like this one's going to be long for sure. And if not, there's just going to be a whole bunch of one-goal games.
Yeah, it will be. And want to say have a good night, fellas, and I'll talk to you guys on Sunday.
Thanks, Cody. You have a happy Easter as well. Nice to hear from you tonight. I know I mentioned this during the broadcast, Paul, but I just wanted to bring it up again because I'm the first guy, I know I am, that will complain about artificial noise or arenas that are too loud by the sound system, right? They just thump the music in at 11 or 12 on the dial. And what these fans do in Kitchener organically to generate noise, I think is really impressive. They cheer and cheer loudly penalty kills. They boo referees. They boo missed calls. They started the wave for a second tonight, which I don't like. But it's such an organic noise, and I think it's terrific. I think these fans deserve a lot of credit for that. I really do.
Yeah, and it was nice to hear UC Ahokas recognize the fans.
Sure.
He called them our sixth man. And I think that's a real credit to the fans. They do get behind the team. They're enthusiastic. They're into it. They're knowledgeable, Mike. And, you know, how can't you be when you've got a team that works as hard as the Kitchener Rangers do? Of course you're going to cheer for them and you know, get involved in the game, I suppose. And to see a crowd of this size on game one was pretty awesome. Like that's when I miss being on the bench, you know, with that energy in the building and the excitement and all that. But it was pretty good being up here as well to take it all in.
I always love it up here when we look to our right at this blue section and it's so full. It makes me feel like I'm part of something pretty special in here, and that was the case tonight.
Yeah, somebody sitting in this blue section was eating some pretty good food.
Oh, smelled good, didn't it? It sure did. All right, let's stay with the phones. Get one more in before the break, and I know this is another fan that was really happy because he got some free stuff tonight. Eddie, you're on Rangers Talk. I hope you like your rally towel.
Oh, really got to throw a dig at me, huh?
Of course I do.
You know, I can still find a way to make it sour. I'm going to say, like, hey, for a playoff game, I think I'd rather have 7,000 rally towels going around.
Settle down.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, you know, it'd be nice, you know, make it look like an actual playoff atmosphere, but at least the fans brought the playoff atmosphere with them. Because, like you said, we don't need that artificial stuff to make it be an imposing atmosphere.
That's very true.
And when you say speakers, London, question mark?
Yes, London, Barrie, lots of arenas do it, quite frankly.
Yeah, I was there for Game 5 and 7 in 2022, I will tell you, I was not impressed. You know, call me a hater, which I am. I'm not even going to deny that. I am a Knights hater. But I remember going in there and like, wow, this is like kind of quiet. Anyways, that's not the point. I was just more going off of what you were saying just a moment ago to the game. You know, it was kind of when I came up to talk pregame, this is kind of what I thought it was going to be. It wasn't – the final score wasn't going to be close, but it wasn't going to be a – but it was going to be a close game. Like, I said that the final score would be like a 2-3 goal difference. I actually predicted 6-3 before the game.
You predicted 6-3, sorry?
Yeah.
You predicted that?
I got proof of it. I can send it Farwell's way if you...
Nah, come on. No. Settle. Everybody's a genius after the game, Eddie.
I posted it pregame. I got proof,
all
man.
Right. No, your cred is good with us. I believe you.
Oh. But, I mean, to be fair, it's like the only time I think I've gotten it right all season. I think I got it right once before.
Max the Usher went with 5-2 tonight. So yeah. they both had the three-goal differential.
Yeah, but, no, I will say just this is going to be a tough series. Like, Erie plays a good game. Like, they won't go away. You know, good on them to, like, keep battling back after, you know, we go up. Two goals here, two goals there. They keep battling back. I expect more of the same. As I said, I think the Rangers will win Sunday, but I think it'll be more of the same where it won't be until that final minute comes, until that final buzzer goes, it won't be a certainty.
All right, Eddie. Appreciate the call. Good to hear from you tonight. And to Eddie's point, Paul, you got to give the Erie Otters credit particularly for the way they started the third period. They're down 3-1, and they came out guns a-blazing.
They did. Kitchener couldn't get out of their zone, and Erie was able to capitalize on that. And I got actually a little bit nervous at that point.
Sure, because it was 3-2 all of a sudden, just 35 seconds in.
And they were out playing Kitchener for that period of time. But then Kitchener settled down and... took control of the game in the third period as well, like they had prior to that. But I won't say I was feeling Kitchener was choking. I don't think
that would be harsh.
I was a little bit nervous because Erie was taking it to Kitchener.
Edward Chalet would score the goal then that turned out to be the winner for the Kitchener Rangers tonight. Let's squeeze in one more before the break. Damien, you're on Rangers Talk on City News.
Hello?
Hi, Damian.
Hello. Honestly, today was a good game. I thought they were going to lose that. But, yeah.
Why did you think they were going to lose?
It got pretty close, but, yeah.
Well, the good thing is it got close, but never too close that they overtook Kitchener.
Yeah.
All right, Damian, appreciate the call. Good to hear from you tonight. I love how kids get to stay up late for hockey games on the weekend. And that just makes me think, you're right, it got close. It was a one-goal game several times. The Rangers had 4 2-goal leads in this game. 2-0, 3-1, 4-2, and 5-3.
Says something about Erie, like, yeah. Battling back each time. And that's the type of scrappy team they are. And as I said in the start of the game, like in the pregame, they're playing with house money in my mind.
Sure.
You know? And so they're just going to go out and play and try to win hockey games. And that's what they did tonight. I think they played a pretty solid hockey game. And it's just experience for their young players that haven't been in the playoffs.
Rangers win it 6-3 to grab game one from the Erie Otters here tonight. Cameron Reed back in the Rangers lineup. The player that hit Cameron Reed and injured him before the end of the regular season is in the OHL's bad books right now. We'll explain that right after this quick timeout. It's Rangers Talk for You Save Flooring on City News 570.
We want to hear from all the armchair coaches. Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570, Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Rangers knock off the Erie Otters 6-3 here in Game 1. As the regular season was winding down, Kitchener lost back-to-back games to the Guelph Storm. The second of those games, here at the Memorial Auditorium, Max Namestnikov hammers Cameron Reed, Rangers defenseman, into the boards. Reed leaves the game, did not return, did not play the next two games. Trent Swick jumps Max Namestnikov, gets a 5-game suspension. And maybe there is justice in hockey, Paul, because Max Namestnikov rocked Jack Beck of the Sioux Greyhounds with a hit last night, and Namestnikov has been suspended for 4 games. So Trent Swick will return from his suspension before Namestnikov returns from his.
Yeah, it was a really bad hit. Defenseless player who was hit, and I think that they got that right in that suspension, 4 games. He should have been suspended for the hit on Reed, but that's neither here nor there.
That one is under the bridge now, but yep. Maybe justice came around a little bit late, at least for Rangers fans. All right, let's get back to the phones. Mike, we got about 90 seconds, but we want to hear from you on Rangers Talk.
Mike, is it the same as NHL that it goes 2-2, 1-1-1 for the games?
Yes.
Okay, so the next game will be Kitchener.
Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, 1:30 pregame.
I think Kitchener is going to win 4 in a row, Mike.
Come on, I do, Mike. Let's not get carried away.
They're hot. No, they're hot. Tonight they're 1 goal away, and I think they're pretty hot. And I know you might not know, and I hope you don't get upset if I ask you this question. When Kitchener beats Erie, who did they play?
All right, Mike. Thanks for the call.
I knew you were going to get mad at that. I knew you were going to get mad at that.
No. Listen, you know what? Okay, hang on. Before, Adam, thanks for not hitting the button yet to hang up on Mike. Honestly, we don't know. It just depends, right? Because they reseed after the first round. So we have to see who gets through.
Yeah, like Oshawa lost tonight, so who's to say? You never know. Like, I know it's on the East, but I'm saying on the West, who knows?
Exactly. So Mike is gone now. And honestly, it is a little bit premature. It's one game. You still need to win 3 more. Paul, you mentioned this back in our pregame show. The toughest game to win is the clinching game. So let's get there before we start counting chickens before they hatch.
Yeah, Erie's not going to go down easy, that's for sure. And right. I do not see a 4-game sweep. Yeah. In this series.
And it will depend on who wins the other series to see who the Rangers play next if they get through, whoever any team plays next if they get through this first round. All right, you mentioned that Barry win in Oshawa tonight. The Jens' 12-game winning streak comes to an end in game one of the playoffs. Brantford beats Ottawa and London beats Flint. Those were the games tonight. Last night, North Bay picks up a win over Kingston. Saginaw, a win over Owen Sound. The Sioux over Guelph. and Sudbury over Mississauga. So those are your 1-0 series leaders.
And so it begins.
And so it begins. Next up for us, as we just mentioned, is Sunday afternoon, Game 2, Rangers and Otters. Our pregame show will get started at 1:30. On behalf of my broadcast partner, Paul Fixter, and our producer back at the boardwalk, Adam Sanderson, Rangers win it 6-3 tonight over the Otters. My name is Mike Farwell. I bid you a very good Friday night from the Memorial Auditorium in Kitchener.
This has been another edition of City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Your home for the Kitchener Rangers. City News 570.